If you'll open your Bibles this morning to Titus chapter 2, Titus 2. During this month, we're looking at family from several different perspectives. We began by looking at the church as family. We talked about who was going to preach which sermon. We're going to be talking about fathers and mothers and children and grandparents, and decided that since I'm new to this game of grandparenting, that I should probably preach the one on grandparents. Next week, Dwight's going to preach the sermon on fathers. So I hope you'll be back next Sunday morning to hear that. In September, we had two grandsons just 9 days apart. Our middle daughter, Alicia, was due this past Monday, and we're still waiting. So if my phone goes off, I may head out of here in a hurry this morning. I promised myself years ago that I would not become one of those bores, grandparents, who are always telling stories and always showing pictures of their grandchildren. And this morning I must confess before this church that I have broken that promise. And even worse, I have no intention of repenting. In Proverbs 17:6, the wise man said, "Children's children are a crown to the aged." And I'll confess, it was delightful preparing for this sermon as I read passages from Scripture with new and deeper insight at this stage in my life. And I'm grateful to different ones I consulted during the course of my studies, men like Charlie Shedd and Bob Russell and James Dobson, to try to gain some insights to share with you this morning on the art of grandparenting. And I want to begin this morning by emphasizing the critical role that grandparents do play in the modern family especially. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 8, you don't need to turn there, but that's that verse that talks about the sins of the fathers that are visited upon future generations. It says all the way down to the third and the fourth generations. That means that for good or for bad, things that grandparents do can pass on to future generations. Bad habits, bad traits can be passed on. Then there's the other side of the coin. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul wrote there to Timothy, and he said, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And now I am persuaded also lives within you." The good that grandparents do can also pass on to future generations. And I don't have to convince you that our world is becoming increasingly more ungodly. Parents, Scripture teaches, are the first line of defense in the spiritual warfare that we're all engaged in. But grandparents are the second line of defense. And when I talk about grandparents this morning, I want you to understand that there are physical, blood grandparents, and then there are adoptive grandparents. And I am grateful for people who've served in that role in my life, in the lives of my children, when we were overseas, miles apart from our physical, from their physical grandparents. So there are those I know who take on this role in the lives of people, and that is so critically important. We need all the help we can get. Here in Titus chapter 2, we see the importance of the role of grandparents, or really, Paul is describing this group as older men and older women within the church. Now, our culture idolizes youth. And people will pay large sums of money to try to maintain the appearance of youthfulness. That's very different from other cultures around this world. Eastern cultures especially that value and honor the elderly. Most African cultures which honor the elderly. When our daughter Alicia was in Kenya teaching school several years ago, she came back and she said, "It is so different there in the schools." She said, "When I go into the classroom every day, the children all stand to attention. And they say, 'Good morning, teacher.' And then she says good morning to them, and they say, how are you, teacher? And she says, I am fine. You may be seated. We will begin. And they open their books, and they very quietly and respectfully begin. She says, I don't know any schools in America that where children treat teachers with that kind of respect. In the Bible days, the culture that we read of in the first century and in previous centuries, it was a culture in which the elderly were honored. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, the admonition is given to young people, stand up in the presence of the aged. Show respect. Unfortunately, we have lost that in our Western civilization to a great extent. And I want to encourage everyone here in your sphere of influence, in the homes that exist, challenge that kind of culture. Encourage children to honor and to show respect for those who are older. Swim against the current of our time. I'm grateful that my parents, for whatever reason, they loved being around people that were older than themselves. And I can remember many a times on Sunday night after church, we would either have an older couple over or go to the home of an older couple. And so I grew up around a lot of older people. And there was one couple in particular that my parents sort of adopted, and they became adoptive grandparents of my brother and I, and we called them affectionately Mama and Papa Knight. And I can remember sitting on the floor, and Papa Knight would tell stories, and he was a great storyteller, and he worked on the highway department, and he would tell stories about all the adventures he'd had. And I just grew up loving hearing older people tell stories, and having this respect that I could see that my parents had toward older people. Grandparents have two major contributions that they make to our grandchildren in this world. The first one is their wisdom. In Job chapter 12, verse 12, he said, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? And there are things that you will know only through life experiences that can be shared with those that are younger. Not only wisdom, but the second great contribution is time. Usually, not always, but usually by the time grandchildren come along, retirement is part of the picture, or will soon be. Maybe more than anything, there's just the perspective that age brings that encourages grandparents to take the time that as parents they were too busy at times to take with those young hearts that are being formed. And I just want to encourage our parents, be sure that your children get to spend quality time with their grandparents. And in your attitude as parents, teach them to be respectful of their grandparents. Teach them to write thank you notes when the grandparents have been generous. Teach them to do chores for the grandparents without any expectation of pay. Did you know that the way that you treat your own parents is the way that your children will one day treat you? You know, Aesop told that old fable, and you've heard it, I'm sure, about the parents who had children, and the father of one of the parents came to live with them, and he had palsy, and he couldn't eat his food without spilling it, and his daughter-in-law became so enraged that she had her husband carve out a pig trough out of wood, and she said, you're no longer going to eat at our table because you can't eat without spilling your food all over the place, so you're going to go sit in the corner and we're going to give you a pig trough to eat out of. And they sent the old man to the corner. And the next day, that mother saw one of her children out there chipping away at a piece of wood. She said, what are you doing? He said, I'm making a trough for you when you get old. You know, the way you treat your parents is the way you can expect to be treated. Paul turns his attention to the older men, or to the grandpas in the congregation. Look what he says in verse 2 of Titus chapter 2. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. When we think of the word temperate, we usually associate that with alcohol and temperance in drink. But it's not just in regard to drink. Temperance means someone who is even-tempered, not given to extremes. As grandparents, we need to be careful not to give advice over much. Be temperate in our giving of advice. Be temperate in the way we spend our money on grandchildren. Don't overindulge a child. In doing that, many a grandparent has robbed the parent of the joy of being able to give good things to their children. These older men are to be worthy of respect. Live in such a way that the name that is passed on to the grandchildren is an honored name in the community, within the family. Be self-controlled, Paul says. I heard recently that the biggest discipline problem with children today is really rooted in their grandparents, and that may be true. Self-control, learning to gauge your actions. And then the important quality here, Paul says, they're to be sound in the faith. Grandchildren need to be called to higher standards. And in many ways, grandparents are in a very unique position to do that. Grandparents can say things at times and get away with things that mom and dad have difficulty doing and saying. You don't have to be preachy, but there are standards that are slipping rapidly, and grandparents can hold the bar high. As a grandparent, don't just go along with the culture. Don't say, well, you know, it's different than it was in my day. Back then, we waited till we got married to move in together. But I guess kids today just all shack up, and that's just the way it... Don't just buy into the culture of the day. Say to your grandchildren, I hope you will respect us enough that if you think about bringing a girlfriend home with you for the weekend to stay under our roof, I hope you'll know that we don't believe that way, and we don't act that way in our home. I hope as grandparents that we can keep the standards high, and even though language has gotten so much worse, I hope you won't just cave in to that and say, well, you know, language has just gotten so bad. We didn't used to talk that way, but I guess everything's just gone downhill. No, say again in a kind and loving way, I hope that you will respect your grandmother and me enough not to use that kind of language in our home. Hold your grandchildren to God's standards. And then he says, be sound not only in this area of the faith, be sound in love. And that can be expressed no better way than being unconditional in love. Now, grandparents, again, are in a unique position to do this. You are not, unless you're raising your grandchildren, you are not in the position to be the primary enforcers. And in so doing, you can just love them. Let mom and dad be the big bad wolf, and you just be the one who loves on them. Unconditional love. I had a grandmother who thought I could do no wrong. I'm sure she knew things that I did wrong, but she acted like she never knew I did a thing wrong. And I loved her for her unconditional love. Model love. Be sound in love in your marriage. Be the kind of grandparents that will inspire your grandchildren. Love your mate. Hold hands. Be affectionate so that one day when they grow up, they'll say, that's the kind of marriage I want to have. Be sound, Paul says, in endurance. Keep on serving. You know, often when we get up to the grandparent stage, it's easy just to say, you know, well, I've done my time in the church. I've done my service in the community. I'll let somebody else do it. Grandchildren don't get to see your past. They don't know what all you did in previous years. Keep on keeping on. Let them see you as a servant of the Lord all the way through old age. Look what he says in verse 7. He says there, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. Well, he goes into verse 3 and he talks to the older women, so we'll call those the grandmas in the family. And look what he says in verse 3 to the older women. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. He's describing character here of these older women. And let me just say, grandchildren don't need grandmothers who are hip and who are worldly wise, who try to act like young people. They need grandmothers who know the Lord. Not slanderers, he says. Don't let your grandchildren hear you tearing other people down, talking ugly about other people. I tell you, one of the greatest compliments that I continue to hear at funerals, I don't hear it at all of them, but occasionally I'll hear children and grandchildren say this about a grandparent. They'll say, I never heard them say a bad word about anyone. But what a blessing that is for grandchildren to have a grandfather or a grandmother who they never hear speaking slanderously about anyone else. It's been said that big people talk about ideas. Average people talk about events. And little people talk about each other. Paul says, don't be addicted. Grandchildren do not need to see a grandma that sits around sipping on wine all day. They don't need to see a grandma that's always having to grab her bottle of antidepressants to deal with life. And he says, teach what is good. Look what he says in verses 4 and 5. It says, then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands. All these things are within the grasp of a grandmother in dealing with her grandchildren. And the most critical thing is what happens at the end of that. Look at the very end of verse 5. So that no one will malign the Word of God. You want your children to have respect for God and for His Word? Then teach them these things as you have opportunity to do so. Teach what is good. I spoke this last week with a lady who's recently moved into her 80s, and she told me about her bucket list. And she said, one of the things I'm doing, she's already started doing this, she's already made some trips. She says, I'm making trips around to all my children and my grandchildren, and I am being sure that I sit down and I talk to them about the Lord, and I tell them about my life and my priorities. Folks, I tell you, that makes an impact on children and grandchildren when you share with them the greatest good of all, your relationship with the Lord. Let me close by just sharing some gleanings of wisdom that I've learned in my reading from other folks who have grandparented for a long time. So just some guidelines for grandparenting that will help reinforce Christian values. Number one, do not interfere with the discipline of the parents of that child. This is a hard thing, and that is just keep quiet. You had the opportunity to raise your children, and you made your mistakes. You let them raise their children, and they're going to make mistakes too, just like you did. Don't be forever dropping subtle hints about, you know, I'm surprised that you're letting them do this, or you know, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I mean, just be quiet. Don't give your children sermon tapes of your preacher preaching a sermon on how to parent or grandparent. Be careful in these areas. If they ask for advice, give it lovingly, and then be quiet again. Secondly, make every effort to be supportive of your children's role as parents in the home. Don't change their rules. If they have rules Don't just because you're the patriarch of the family decide that you're going to override the rules that they have. Be supportive of their rules. Honor their rules. And say, you know, I don't think your mom and dad would let you do that, so we probably shouldn't do that either. And just a word today to those of you who have children who are divorced. If at all possible, don't make an enemy of that ex-daughter-in-law or ex-son-in-law. Try to stay friends so that you can continue to have influence in the lives of your grandchildren. And thirdly, listen to your grandchildren. And this is so hard to do at times. Listen to them. It's easier to tell them your stories, but I think we all know that old stories sometimes get old, especially to grandchildren. I'll never forget Jack and Chris Miller. You know Chris, who's still is a member now out at Willard. But Jack and Chris were here, and when Jack passed away, at his funeral, I talked to one of his granddaughters, and she said, "The thing that I loved about my grandpa is that he was always interested in what I was doing." And she said, "I remember one day sitting out on the front porch with him, and he just asked me, he said, what are some of your favorite songs that you young people sing at church?" And he said, "I don't know a lot of those songs." And she told him the name of one of the songs that was her favorite song. And he said, "Well, would you teach me that song?" And she said, "I sat there and I taught my grandpa that song, and then we sang it together." Grandchildren, don't forget that level of interest shown in them. And it takes patience. If you've ever asked a grade school child to tell you about a movie that they just got through seeing, you know that sometimes the telling takes longer than the movie itself. And so patience is required to be a good listener. And with teenagers especially, you only ever earn the right to teach them and to give advice to them by first listening to things that they have to say. And it's so important as we listen and spend time with grandchildren that we're fun to be with, not always strict, not always admonishing, not always showing disapproval for things that are done, but be fun to be with. In Proverbs 17:22, the writer there says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Don't dry up the bones of your grandchildren. Be fun and cheerful to be with. And then lastly, and most importantly, share your faith with your grandchildren. Proverbs 13:22, "A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children." And let me tell you, the greatest inheritance you can leave your grandchildren is the inheritance of faith. Don't just leave them the farm. Leave them your faith, things that will matter for all of eternity. Pray for them. And let me encourage you, if you're a grandfather, if you're a grandmother, at some time, and there are going to be these times, when they're worried about something, about a test in school, when there's some event, when they're sad, pray with them. Let them hear you pray for them in their presence. That makes such an impact on a child to have a grandparent who will pray prayers in their presence. Talk with them frequently and in a casual way, a comfortable way about the Lord. Don't be preachy about it. Just say, "You know, the Lord has always been with me. I've always been able to rely on Him, and I know He'll always be with you." And there are so many opportunities to just talk about the Lord and share faith with grandchildren. Take them with you to church. Let them see that you take worship seriously. Let them hear you sing. You may never live to see the day when troubles will come into their lives, as they surely must, and they remember your example of faith. And then maybe, just maybe, with tears in their eyes, they'll say, "You know, I remember my grandparents, and I think I know what's missing from my life." My prayer for every grandparent here today, including myself, is that the same thing can one day be said of my grandchildren that was said of Timothy when Paul said, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother. God bless all grandparents and the tremendous impact and influence that they have in this world today. If there's anyone here today who needs to respond to the God who will see us through generation after generation, the God who never changes, we want to encourage you to respond in faith. If you need to become a Christian, if you need prayers this morning, we would encourage you to come as we pray for you. If you need to do that, won't you do it while we stand and sing?